President Trump today canceled next month's summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. He said he made the decision based on the, quote, tremendous anger and open hostility in a recent statement issued by a senior North Korean official. In that statement, the North Korean official said that Vice President Mike Pence was, quote, ignorant and stupid to liken the North Korean nuclear situation to Libya. Libya's then-leader Muammar Gaddafi was killed by rebels in 2011, years after he ended his nuclear program. In Trump's letter to Kim canceling the summit today, President Trump added that he is still looking forward to meeting Kim someday. So a diplomatic developing story there, and possibly yet another example of the mixed messages the Trump administration has been sending to Asia more broadly. That seems to be the case on trade, as the U.S. and China have gone back and forth in a possible trade war. I spoke earlier to John Pomfret. He's former Beijing bureau chief for The Washington Post, and I started by asking him what he makes of the back and forth between the two countries on trade.
Well, unlike previous administrations, with the Trump administration, you really see how the sausage is made. And clearly, it's not very pretty. He's so public and unpredictable in the way he's dealing with the Chinese. The Chinese, in many ways, are completely backfooted by Donald Trump. They don't know really how to interpret him. When he got into office initially, they were happy because they thought of him as a businessman who wanted to make deals. But now they don't really know what to think.
Huh, interesting. Now, when you say we're getting a clear picture of how the sausage is made, is that how the sausage is made in the Trump administration or generally when it comes to U.S., the United States and China and talks about trade?
Well, American relations with China have always been very difficult. In the past, however, and clearly for the Obama administration and also for the administration of George W. Bush, so we're talking the last 16 years, there was generally a belief that if the United States backed off on really pushing the Chinese on a lot of areas, ultimately China would evolve in a direction that would embrace liberal market principles and perhaps even sort of liberal political principles. Now, clearly, that bet has not been won. And so regardless of who is in the White House at this current time, I think they would all be having to deal with the ramifications of losing that bet and the reality that China is not actually evolving in a more liberal direction.
Okay, so what do you think some of those ramifications are?
Well, for example, on trade, people talk about or are concerned about the fact that there could be a trade war between the United States and China. But you could also argue that actually there has been a trade war and it's currently going on between the United States and China because of China's mercantilist trade policies where—
I mean, isn't that exactly what President Trump has been saying?
Yeah, yeah. That's what he has been saying. And one could say there is a trade war happening. I mean, China's mercantilist economic policies and also the forced technological transfer of any American company that has high technology wanting to do business in China basically has to share their family jewels with the Chinese. That is, in all intents and purposes, a trade war. But previous administrations in the United States have not pressured the Chinese on these issues because of a belief, one, that if they did that, our trade with China would be hurt, American corporations would make less money in China, and two, because of the belief that over time they could use their influence with the Chinese to convince them to open up in a more liberal direction. And that part of the bet has not played off at all.
Yeah. It's so interesting is maybe not the right word, but confusing sometimes because on the one hand, the Trump administration did push significantly against exactly the Chinese policies over intellectual property that you were just talking about. But then on the other hand, the president comes out and tries and says in a tweet, you know, he wants to save jobs at ZTE in China. I mean, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah. I mean, and I think it's clearly that within the Trump administration, there's a lot of dissension on a variety of these issues and also within the Republican Party as well. You see Congress pushing back on the whole ZTE question as well. And so there's definite chaos. But these debates we've been having in the United States within China policymaking circles for decades about how much to push the Chinese, on what issues to push the Chinese. Now, in the past, it hasn't been so obvious. Because Trump is so emotional and emotive But the reality is that this type of sort of somewhat chaos has been going on for years. I mean, look at the Obama administration. I mean, we have a tendency to think, okay, U.S.-China relations under Obama, relatively placid. But underneath the water of that relationship, there were real difficulties. I mean, for 8 years, and this is not on trade, but this is on North Korea, basically, Obama outsourced U.S. policy on North Korea to the Chinese. And during those 8 years in North Korea, what happened? The North Koreans got a nuclear weapon and are perfecting an ICBM. And so while Trump, on one hand, is clearly, it's very easy to criticize him. The guy's chaotic. He doesn't really seem to be able to stick to the liner notes on China, et cetera. He's always trying to cut a deal, or he's hurting his advisors. On the other hand, you have to understand or just recognize the fact that the previous administrations didn't do a very good job on this relationship either.
Well, so are you saying, though, that the Trump administration's, or specifically the president's sort of shouldering aside of the decorum of diplomacy, has actually done the American people a favor insofar as it's helping us to understand, like you're saying, these deeper, longer-term conflicts with China in a more public way?
Yeah, I think his actions, for better or worse, have blown open a door to a discussion that America really needs to have about what type of relationship it wants to have with China. And he's done it in a completely in ways that are very distasteful, often very obnoxious, very contradictory. But in his contradictory way of dealing with Xi Jinping, I think it encapsulates in some ways the contradictory way the United States has been dealing with China for the past two decades, at least, specifically since China got into the WTO, which was in 2001.
Okay. Now, I just want to shift gears slightly here because, I mean, there's another issue about China and the U.S., which is exceedingly important to the Chinese. I mean, has there been any backlash in Beijing to the Trump administration because the president has reached out to Taiwan? I mean, he signed the Taiwan Travel Act, which encourages the administration to send high-ranking officials to Taiwan.
Right. So on the Taiwan Travel Act, first, that was passed in Congress by a veto-proof majority. So he had two options. One option was to sign it, and the other option was to not sign it and then have basically his veto overturned. And I think he probably made the proper decision in signing it. Secondly, the administration will be the one to determine which high-ranking administration officials do or do not go to Taiwan. So from that perspective, the administration does have some wiggle room. But thirdly, I think that the actual Travel Act comes from a belief in Congress, but also among many people in Washington and the policymaking circles as well, that the Chinese have put the mainland Chinese have put an enormous amount of unnecessary pressure on Taiwan in order to punish Taiwan for the fact that its democratically open election ended up electing somebody from a party that has as its party platform the belief that Taiwan should be an independent nation. And this type of political pressure on Taiwan is sticking in the craw of a lot of Americans when they look at that region. I mean, Taiwan right now, it used to be an authoritarian, you know, martial law country or entity. But now it's literally probably, one could argue, the most open democracy in all of Asia. And so for the Chinese to put that type of pressure on Taiwan, I think there's going to be a natural backlash, specifically in the Congress, which I think at this point in time is probably as pro-Taiwan as we've seen in the last 40 or 50 years. But to your point, yes, will there be a backlash in China? To a certain extent, it really depends on who the administration dispatches to Taiwan to represent the U.S. government. Now, we're going to have the opening of the American Institute in Taiwan, the new offices of the American Institute in Taiwan, which is our de facto embassy in Taiwan relatively soon. And the issue will be which senior American official is going to go represent it. I mean, if it's going to be somebody like Mike Pence, you could say the Chinese could go ballistic and but if it's a lower cabinet level official, then probably the Chinese will be able to suck it up and deal with it.
Hmm. Well, John Pomfret is former Beijing bureau chief for The Washington Post. He still writes for the paper, and he's also author of The Beautiful Country and the Middle Kingdom, America and China, 1776 to the Present. John, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.